Hi, I'm Roger Doherty, Senior Technical Evangelist with Microsoft's Developer and Platform Evangelism Division, and I'd like to welcome you to the Introduction to SQL Azure presentation. SQL Azure is an exciting new database service that's part of the Windows Azure platform. And in this presentation, we'll help you get up to speed on SQL Azure and the basics of its architecture and the benefits of building database solutions in the cloud. We'll also help you understand how to build a simple database solution that leverages an ASP.NET application in Windows Azure talking to a SQL Azure database. At the conclusion of the presentation, we're hopeful that you'll be excited about this new capability and you'll go out and start building your first Windows Azure and SQL Azure-based solutions. SQL Azure is the first and only true relational database as a service, and it's evolving into a capability that a lot of developers are excited about leveraging in their custom applications. Probably one of the most compelling aspects of SQL Azure is that it's a managed service. So if you're used to building and deploying database solutions, you're used to having to deal with database software installations. You're used to having to deal with servers, maybe virtual machine provisioning. You're also used to having to worry about things like high availability and fault tolerance and clustering. With SQL Azure, it's very easy to provision and deploy your database, and you're really kind of out of the hardware and the high availability business. Those are capabilities that are provided by the service itself, and you can really just focus on delivering value in your solution instead of all of those servers to maintain. Another interesting aspect to SQL Azure is its elastic scale. SQL Azure is really kind of, you can view it as sort of a database as a utility, and you can pay as you grow. It's backed up by a service level agreement from Microsoft to make sure that you have the availability and performance that you expect. And it also is really designed bottom up for multi-tenant solutions. It's very easy to provision a new database for a new client. Finally, we have SQL Azure data centers running all over the world, so chances are the data can be located very close to where it's actually accessed by your Windows Azure solutions in the cloud. Because of the fact that SQL Azure is a managed service and you can really scale up or scale down as needed, it gives you the ability to innovate much more quickly. Because you're sort of freed up from having to worry about those things. Additionally, SQL Azure leverages existing knowledge base in your developer and DBA communities because it's based on SQL Server technologies. So it's not a radical new programming interface or design. It uses that stable relational database management system paradigms, and it's also evolving into a variety of other capabilities and services as we add value to the platform. When you look at applications that are built to leverage SQL Azure, there's a few topologies that are common. Probably the one that's most popular and the one that we'll demonstrate in this solution is the CodeNear scenario. That's where you have an application running in Windows Azure inside the Microsoft Data Center, and that application is really the only thing that's accessing your SQL Azure database. Because SQL Azure is based on SQL Server technologies, all the same APIs and protocols used to access SQL Azure are the same as those used to access SQL Server. So you can connect to SQL Azure from software that's running outside of a Microsoft data center. So we call that the code FAR scenario. There are also hybrid scenarios where you're accessing your SQL Azure data from both within a Microsoft data center in Windows Azure applications and from outside the Microsoft data center from software that's running on-premise. And you may even need the ability to synchronize on-premise data with data in the cloud. And there's some technology that the SQL Azure team has made available called SQL Azure Data Sync that makes that configuration and topology possible. let's drill down into the architecture a bit so that you can understand how SQL Azure works. So there's essentially a shared infrastructure for the database portion of your application. So Microsoft is responsible for rolling out and maintaining that infrastructure. All you really have to do is go in and provision your database. We have also software that meters and bills your usage of SQL Azure so that the service is monetized. Drilling down into the architecture a bit, this is a description of how we handle high availability and redundancy. So from a developer perspective, you're really accessing a single logical database. That's a very simple paradigm to deal with as a developer. But behind the scenes, we're maintaining multiple replicas of that single logical database. For every SQL Azure database, we actually maintain three replicas concurrently, and that happens transparently. There's nothing that you need to do as a developer or as an administrator to enable that capability. A single primary is identified as the place to route all the read and write activity from connections that are accessing the data. And we'll load balance the connections to a different single primary if there's availability issues or performance issues with a particular replica running on a particular set of hardware. If your single primary goes down for whatever reason, we'll automatically promote one of the other replicas to the primary, and we'll spin up a new primary as well behind the scenes. So that you're still maintaining your multiple replicas on the back end. So that's an example of how the high availability and automatic failover works behind the scenes. From a networking perspective, the architecture of SQL Azure sort of looks like this. In the code VAR scenario where you're running code outside of the cloud, your application uses standard data access APIs and protocols like the tabular data stream to connect to SQL Azure. The connections come through the internet and initially hit a load balancer that sort of remembers some session state so that the sessions can be routed to the same location. We then cross a security boundary, which we'll talk a little bit about in an upcoming slide, to make sure that we're only allowing the right connections into the system. Once a connection gets through the security boundary, it attaches to a gateway transparently. And that gateway is the thing that figures out which replica to talk to. Once you're connected to a primary replica, all the read and write activity happen against that. Behind the scenes, there's a fabric that manages the scalability and availability of each of your replicas, including failover events, replication, and load balancing. Again, things that you don't really have to worry about that we need to handle on the back end in the data center for you. The service provisioning model for SQL Azure is very straightforward. The first thing that you do is go in and set up an account. And then once you have set up that account through the portal, you have a billing instrument to provision logical servers. Each of those logical servers can contain one or more databases. And the database essentially has metadata about database and usage. The logical server has metadata about each database and the usage of each database. The logical server is also a unit of authentication. So the corollary to a logical server would be an instance of SQL Server in the on-premise world. And you set up logins to that logical server just like you would set up logins to a on-premise instance of SQL Server. A logical server also, besides being a unit of authentication, is located geographically in a specific data center. So when you provision these things, you have a choice of where to spin it up. And ideally, you'll want to choose a data center that's as close to the customers and the Windows Azure solutions that will be using it. The logical servers also have a DNS-based name, which is generated for you when you provision them, and that's essentially the server name that you use to connect to SQL Azure. So within the logical server, you can have multiple databases, and these databases look just like SQL Server databases and contain all the same types of database objects that you would expect, including tables, views, indexes, and those types of things. So let's drill down into how to actually work with SQL Azure a little bit. The connection model is very familiar. It uses the same connection model that SQL Server does, which is the TDS protocol, or the tabular data stream. You connect up to SQL Azure from your applications using standard data access providers like ADO.NET, ODBC, or PHP. And these providers are all pre-installed in Windows Azure roles to make it easy for you to build solutions that target SQL Azure. All of the standard ASP.NET controls can work fine with SQL Azure data, so there's really nothing special that you have to do there with an ASP.NET application to have it talk to a SQL Azure database. Clients connect directly to the database, unlike on on-premise SQL Server where you connect to a server. So the concept of moving around from database to database doesn't really apply to SQL Azure. So if you have to use multiple SQL Azure databases, you'll have to spin up multiple connections to each of those databases from your solution. The connection strings for SQL Azure follow the same syntax and conventions that those to SQL Server use. Essentially, it's a string of name value pairs. So you specify the database that you want to connect to in the initial catalog name value pair. From an encryption perspective, you need to set encrypt to true because only SSL connections are supported by SQL Azure. We do not recommend using the trust server certificate option just to avoid man-in-the-middle attack scenarios. The format of the username and password is pretty much the same as it is for SQL Server. The only difference is that you need to append the logical server name to the username in some cases so that it gets routed correctly through the gateways. Finally, you can't connect to SQL Azure in the code VAR scenario unless your firewall is accepting connections from the IP address that's making the request. So in the case of code VAR, you'd need to pre-configure those IP addresses up front. In the case of code NEAR, you just have to enable access to your SQL Azure data from Microsoft services running inside Azure data centers. The administration model for SQL Azure is a lot simpler than it is for SQL Server, simply because you really just have to focus on schema creation and management, optimizing your query, and setting up and provisioning your security. The service itself handles all of the other stuff, the high availability, the failover, and the load balancing, really freeing up the DBA to focus more on logical management and delivering value in your solution. It's a very highly productive environment. To deploy your databases, there's a couple of approaches. You can use the standard brute force approach of running T-SQL scripts to create your objects. You could, for example, just code a bunch of insert statements inside your Transact SQL scripts to pre-populate your data. Or you could use tools like the bulk copy program or BCP to move large sets of data up into your SQL Azure database. We also support the idea of data tier applications, which was introduced in SQL Server 2008 R2. Data tier applications, or DACs, are kind of like MSIs for databases. You know, it's a single unit of deployment. It's essentially a zip file, and the metadata inside those zip files are understood by both SQL Server 2008 R2 and by SQL Azure. So when you deploy a DAC, SQL Server or SQL Azure just opens it up, parses the metadata, and then deploys all of the database objects specified inside of that metadata for you. This is really evolving into the preferred way of deploying databases to both SQL Azure and SQL Server. One other thing or point to make about deployment is to think about co-locating your SQL Azure database in the same geographical region as the Windows Azure solutions that are going to be accessing it. So that's an important thing to make sure that you have the best responsiveness between your application tier and your data tier. So the bottom line here is that we support all the existing forms of deployment plus some next generation forms of deployment in DAC. The security model inside the database should be very familiar. It's basically standard SQL Server authentication. So at the logical server level, you'll have to provision a login and then set up a password for that. And then that login at the logical server level is then mapped to specific users in each database on that logical server. And then you grant privileges to those users by granting them directly to the user accounts or by adding that user to a role inside the database that has the appropriate permissions. Again, there's only support for standard SQL Server authentication logins in this initial release. So it's basically just a username and a password that you're going to be using to connect. So at this point, let's go through a demo of how to create your first SQL Azure database, provision it with some schema and data, and then access it from a Windows Azure-based solution. In this demo, we're going to migrate a simple web application that uses ASP.NET to perform simple CRUD applications. CRUD stands for Create, Read, Update, Delete, against a local SQL Server database. And this sample application ships in the SQL Server 2008 R2 training kit, which you can download from Microsoft.com/downloads. All you have to do is search for the SQL Server 2008 R2 training kit and open up the training kit and download it. Once you do that and install the training kit, a default .htm page will get launched that helps you navigate the content in the training kit. And the specific area where this sample application is located is in Home, Getting Started. And it's the first hands-on lab in that list, called How to Build Your First Web Application with SQL Server and ASP.NET. So that will be the application that we're actually going to migrate from an on-premise installation of SQL Server up to SQL Azure. So the first step in migrating the application is to create a SQL Azure database. Here I'm in the SQL Azure Developer Portal, which is the experience you use to provision logical servers in SQL Azure and then to create databases in them and secure them. So I've gone ahead up front, created an account, and provisioned my first logical server. And now I'm ready to create a database. So I just click on Create Database, type in a name, which we'll use AdventureWorks 2008 R2, choose my edition, web or business. In this case, I'll use web, and choose your maximum size. So for web edition, you can either have a 1 gig or a 5 gig database. Right, so I have my new empty database located here. The other thing that you'll have to do in order to connect to this thing is to configure your firewall settings. Notice here that I've already set up my firewall to do a couple things. First of all, to allow connections from all IP addresses, which you wouldn't do for your solution. You'd only configure access to the specific IP addresses that are required. And then also I've enabled access from Microsoft services, and this allows solutions running from inside the Microsoft data center to connect to your SQL Azure database. So I've gone ahead and configured those two things. The next step is to create some tables inside our new SQL Azure database. The easiest way to do that is to generate some scripts from our existing on-premise SQL Server database. So I'll just go in there, select tasks, and generate scripts from within SQL Server Management Studio. We'll choose the select specific database objects option, since we don't want to migrate everything over in this sample database. And the specific tables that I want to move are the product table, product category, product description, product photo, product photo, product subcategory, and unit measure tables. The other objects that I want to migrate are the user-defined data types, because some of the tables have dependencies on those, as well as the actual production schema, which contains all of the tables I want to move over. We need to change a couple of options here in the advanced section to target SQL Azure. The first option is the script for the database engine type option. We're going to change that to SQL Azure Database. And that will ensure that the script only creates objects that are compatible with SQL Azure. The next thing that we're going to do is change this script indexes option to true, because I do want to migrate the indexes over as well. So we'll route this new query to a new query editor window. And the wizard goes through and generates our script. And we're almost ready to run this against SQL Azure. We need to make a couple tweaks first. The first thing is to remove a dependency to a foreign key for a table that we did not migrate. That's the product model table, and the reason why we didn't migrate it is it uses an XML schema collection, which is not yet supported in SQL Azure. The other change that we need to make is related to the requirement that all tables in SQL Azure have a clustered index. And there's one table that we've selected to move over that doesn't have a clustered index, and that's product photo. So we'll just change the primary key for that table from a non-clustered index to a clustered index. And that should be all we need to do to create these tables and objects on SQL Azure. So I'll go ahead and change my connection up to SQL Azure, and we'll connect up. Notice now that we'll change our database context to the newly created empty database, and I should be able to just hit F5 and run this script to create these objects. And there we are. All of our tables have been created. I can also connect up to my SQL Azure logical server in Management Studio so I can browse the objects and do some graphical administration. So here we see our newly created database and all of our empty tables. The next step is to migrate some data into those tables. You can create some Transact SQL scripts with a bunch of insert statements, or you can use the bulk copy program to move larger sets of data around. And that's the approach that I've chosen. If you're unfamiliar with the use of bulk copy, there's a great blog post I've written on blogs.msdn.com/rdoherty. And the name of that blog post is Brute Force Migration of Existing SQL Server Databases to SQL Azure. This will instruct you on how to use BCP to migrate data from an on-premise SQL Server database to SQL Azure in 11 simple steps, with detailed instructions and some sample code to get you started. So the script to do that migration can be seen here. And you can see for each table what I'm doing is the first thing I'm doing is I'm creating some helper stored procedures. Then I'm disabling some foreign key constraints and some non-clustered indexes using those helper stored procedures. But the basic process for each table is to BCP the data out to a native file, and then to BCP the data in to my SQL Azure database. And the script file that I'm showing you here is one that's included in the blog post that you can customize for your own particular database. So let's go ahead and give it a whirl and run this script. So you can see we've disabled our foreign keys and our indexes. We're bulk copying the data over. And then we re-enable our foreign key constraints, and we rebuild all of our indexes. So the script completed successfully. At this point, I should be able to run some queries against this thing. So I can say select top 100 star from production.products. And we should get some data back, which we do. Cool. So the next step in working with this is to provision your security. So I've got a script here that I've prepared for that. One thing that I've done up front is to create a login in the master database of my logical server and secure that with a password. Once you've done that, you can map that login to users in each individual database. So the user that we're going to create is called sample user. And we're going to grant some privileges to sample users so that they can run select, insert, update, and delete operations against the tables in the production schema that we just migrated over. So now we've provisioned the security. So at this point, we pretty much have everything we need to start talking to that database from a Windows Azure application. So this is the sample application that we're going to migrate over running on-premise. And all this thing does is just simple create, read, update, and delete operations against the tables that we've migrated. So we've got a retrieve all products method. We've got an insert product method. We've got an update product method. And we've got a delete product method. So all of these very simple commands help you understand how to do these basic operations from ASP.NET applications against SQL Server. So if we run this thing, we currently are running against our local SQL Server instance. And this will give you a feel for what this application looks like. Again, it's a very, very simple app. Basically, we pull some products out of the database and we display them on an ASP.NET page. And we also pull a picture of each of the products and render that on the page as well. You can add new products, you can edit existing products, or you can delete existing products. Very, very straightforward, very simple application. Great place to start to understand how things work. Now, let's try the code far scenario first. What I'm going to do here is comment out my connection string for my local SQL Server instance and uncomment our connection string to SQL Azure. And you'll see here that we're connecting to the logical server that we provisioned in the Windows Azure developer portal. And all I got to do is rerun this application, and with zero code changes, just a connection string change, we're running the same app talking to a SQL Azure database up in the cloud using the code far scenario. Pretty cool. Very, very straightforward, very simple, completely compatible. Now, what's involved with actually migrating this application up to Windows Azure? Well, it's actually a very, very simple process. So what we're going to do is create a new project here. And I've got the Windows Azure Platform SDK installed on my instance of Visual Studio here. And you'll notice there's a new project type called Cloud. So we'll call this First SQL ASP Web App and just create a blank project. Now the next thing that I have to do is choose what type of roles that I want up in Windows Azure, and what we need is a web role. So we'll just call the default name web role 1, and what we'll wind up with is a blank Windows Azure solution. Now I'm going to migrate in some of my existing code, and some of the file names are going to conflict. So I'm just going to temporarily rename a couple things so that they don't get overwritten when we migrate these things in. Because we kind of need, I want to be able to refer back to the default files from the solution. So what we'll do is we'll go ahead and add some existing items from our existing project that we just ran. And I'm just going to quickly grab the path for that. Let's see here. It's in labs. There's the path that we're going to want. So we'll go ahead and navigate to there from Visual Studio. And here's the files that we want. Let's see, default.aspx. We don't need these. We'll need that, and that. Just going to migrate all of our code over from our existing on-premise app into our new Windows Azure app. Now, I'm going to go ahead and rename some things back so that we can use the new web config file format for Windows Azure. Okay. So we're all set here. Now, what I'm going to do is very quickly grab the connection string for our SQL Azure database from the code that I just migrated over, just to make that easy. And I'm going to put it in the new web config file for this Windows Azure solution. And one other change that I have to make to run this app is to comment out this particular section, which I'm not going to be using for this demo. So a couple very quick changes, no coding changes, just web config changes, and we're ready to start debugging this application. I do need to make one more change. There's a reference that I need to add to a .NET framework namespace called system.transactions, which is used in my sample application. Now, one cool feature of Windows Azure from a development perspective is that I can test the applications locally using a local development fabric before they're even deployed to Windows Azure. So if I select debug, I can start a new instance of that locally on my machine just to make sure that my app's up and running. So again, this is sort of the code far scenario. We're talking to a SQL Azure database, but the ASP.NET code is running in the local developer fabric for ASP.NET and Windows Azure web roles. So that appears to be working fine. The next step is to deploy this thing up to Windows Azure. So if we go back to our developer portal, you'll notice here that I have a Windows Azure section as well as SQL Azure. Now within Windows Azure, I have some projects pre-deployed. And one of those is a project that includes a couple of roles here. A role for my ASP.NET web worker role, and also a Windows Azure storage role for temporary files and things of that nature that are generated by ASP.NET. So I need those two things in place initially to deploy my application, and I've kind of pre-deployed them here. So right now, there's no application deployed here. I could just click on the Deploy tab and upload it from a file that I've already created, or I can deploy directly from Visual Studio. So if I click on this app, I can then just choose the option to publish this up to SQL Azure. I'm going to choose an existing set of credentials that I've already configured along with an API certificate. And then once I choose those credentials, the tool is smart enough to go figure out the service slots that I've already deployed. I have a couple of options here. I can go to staging or production. I'm just going to go to production for the sake of demo of this particular demo. We also need a storage account used to store the files and the temporary files, and that's already been configured as well. We can give it a deployment label so we can track it, and I simply at this point click on OK. And if we watch the output window, what we'll see is the progress of the deployment. And you get a nice UI here that shows you the specific status of everything that's happening. And at this point, I'm going to pause the recording so that we can pick this up when the deployment's complete. Okay, our deployment's now complete, and you know, everything started about 1:26 p.m. and ended about 1:40 p.m., roughly 15 minutes for the deployment to finish. Our SQL Azure database was set up in advance. Our Windows Azure Web Worker role is now up and running and hosting our application. And we're given a URL here to actually go out and connect to it. So let's click on that and connect to our Windows Azure application running up in the cloud, talking to our SQL Azure database. And here it is. It's the same app that we saw running on-premise. Let's go ahead and see if this thing's working. We'll add a SQL Azure bike to our list of products. So a relatively expensive bike. And I think I've got a picture here on my drive that does a pretty good job of illustrating what a SQL Azure bike might look like. And we'll go ahead and insert this new product, and there it is. We've successfully done an insert to the sample data running up in SQL Azure. I can edit this now. I can change it to 58, size of 58. And I can also delete the product from the list. So our CRUD application is running successfully with zero code changes in Windows Azure, targeting a SQL Azure database. And that concludes our demonstration. So just a few final notes on SQL Azure compatibility. First of all, SQL Azure supports the vast majority of SQL Server data types and objects, and it's supporting more and more as we move forward with new cumulative updates to SQL Azure. So all the basics in terms of tables, indexes, and views are there. You can create stored procedures, triggers, constraints. You can use temporary tables. We even support spatial types now in SQL Azure for those mapping applications or for those geotagging applications. There's a few things that aren't currently supported that we're moving to support in the future. And those are essentially some of our beyond relational data types like XML, hierarchy ID, sparse columns, and file stream. And over time, the idea is to have complete parity in terms of data type support for SQL Azure with on-premise editions of SQL Server. Table partitioning is not supported. Again, you shouldn't have to be concerned with physically how things are laid out on disk in SQL Azure. That's essentially our job. You focus more on the logical database and making sure you've built good queries to access your data. Full text indexes are not supported, and the SQL Server Common Language Runtime for .NET Framework assemblies is not currently supported. But again, the idea is for full feature parity at some point in the future. As you saw in the demo, there were a couple of editions that you could choose in terms of the databases that you created. There's a web edition and then a business edition. There will, at some point in the future, be a feature differentiation between those two. Right now, it's pretty much size. Web edition is can be provisioned in 1 gig or 5 gig increments, and business edition can go all the way up to 50 gigs. You specify the edition when you create your database and then the size that you want to use. We did that all through the SQL Azure Developer Portal, but you can also do that with DDL like that's referenced at the bottom of this particular slide. So to wrap things up, SQL Azure provides a highly available database service in the cloud. It's a managed service freeing you up to focus on your solution and your data and not on configuring virtual machines and applying software updates and all of the nitty-gritty that you have to do to maintain servers. It gives you the ability to scale on demand, either up or down, without expensive hardware outlays. And finally, because it's based on familiar tools and technologies in the SQL Server family of products, it leverages your existing developer expertise and allows you to innovate faster and build really great solutions that deliver value to your customers. I hope you've enjoyed today's presentation, and I hope you run out right now and go build your first Windows Azure solution targeting SQL Azure. Thank you very much.